time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time for what I think is one of the most popular segments on our show. Lots of fans for Abandoned Manitoba. And here's the man behind it all, Gordon Goldsberry. Good morning.
Good morning, Nadia.
Gordon, remind us of the clue from last time.
Well, I said we would examine a famous railway car that was sitting all alone in the forest of southeastern Manitoba. What I was referring to was something called the tree planting car. It's a 75-foot long railway car. And for 53 years, starting in 1920, it traveled all across the prairies, educating children and adults on the benefits of planting trees. It was essentially a classroom on wheels.
We need one of those right now, I think, in Winnipeg, in so many different respects. Trees are obviously a big part of our city, and given what's happened, very important. So let's talk about that for a second. What are the benefits of planting trees?
Absolutely. You know, and we'd think that Winnipeg has lots of trees, but the reality is most of them have been planted through the years. And of course, if you go out beyond Winnipeg, a lot of the trees that we see have been planted too. I mean, it used to be almost a featureless prairie, and through the years, trees have been planted. And it was things like the Dust Bowl of the Dirty 30s that convinced people of the benefits of planting trees. And there's lots of them. But, you know, if we just summarize the main essence of it is, you know, trees conserve soil moisture. And especially in times of drought, that's really important. You know, they provide habitat for birds and insects. They, of course, the aesthetics, you know, it's beautiful having a tree to enjoy shade on a hot day. So lots of reasons to plant trees.
So tell us then, what is the tree planting car and how did it help in promoting tree planting?
Well, it was basically a modified passenger train car. Of course, a lot of people haven't seen such a thing because we don't travel much by train anymore. So basically imagine a long, empty room and it would have rows of seats from the back to the front. And it would have room for apparently up to 130, 140 people, quite a lot of people in this thing. And at one end, there was a small apartment because the idea was that somebody would travel with this car and they would actually do the programming. So they had to have a place where they could sleep and they could eat. The cost of operating this tree planting car was covered by the two major railways, the CN and the CP. And they had private sponsors. And the main support was from the Canadian Forestry Association. Of course, its mandate was to promote trees and awareness of trees. So the idea was that the car, being mobile, was moved by the railway, usually by a passenger train, but sometimes they'd hook it onto a freight train and they'd move it from town to town. And when they got to a town, they would bring people in. And, well, in fact, in the early days especially, they would show them movies. And, of course, you had to keep in mind that this was at a time when movies, especially ones with sound, really rare. And so I think a lot of the appeal wasn't just to learn about trees. It was to actually see a talking movie. And, of course, you'd also hear lectures and pose questions to knowledgeable tree experts.
Such a great initiative. Where did the TPC, the tree planting car, go exactly?
Well, it could visit basically any town that was served by the railway, you know, and so over the course of a single tour, it could travel to many towns. I'll give you an example. So a 3-week tour that the tree planting car took in 1973 around Manitoba started in Westburn. The next day, it was at Gladstone. Then it spent 2 days at Neepawa, then 2 days at Minnedosa, then a day each at Binscarth and Fox Warren, then 2 days at Birtle, a day each at Shoal Lake and Strathclair, and by that time, they're out near Saskatchewan. So then they came all the way back to eastern Manitoba to spend 2 days at St. Anne, a day at La Brokerie, a day at Woodridge, and a day at Sprague. And they completed the whole tour in 3 weeks.
That pace sounds absolutely grueling.
Oh, indeed it was. And, you know, and Alan Bevan, who was the executive director of the Manitoba Forestry Association, he had the singular honor of having been the longest serving lecturer aboard the tree planting car, longer than any other person. He served from 1926 to 46, and he actually wrote about a typical day aboard the tree planting car. So let me just sort of spell out sort of how his day would go. So if he was a lecturer, he would get up in the morning. And, of course, he would wake up in a different town than the town he had gone to bed in the night before, because during the night, the railway had moved him to a new town. And curious visitors would start arriving before he'd even finished his breakfast. And, of course, he'd have to drop his breakfast and talk with them, because that was the whole point, public awareness. And usually there'd been some advanced publicity about his arrival. They'd either put up a poster at the local post office, or they'd put an advertisement in the local newspaper. And so the lecturer would walk walk over to the local phone office to send out what they called a general call. And basically, the phone office would send out a almost like a robocall today to everybody who had a phone saying, oh, remember, the tree planting car is in town today. And then he'd go over to the local school and just remind the teacher that, hey, we're here today. If you want to bring any of your kids to come see, you know, today's the day. Then they'd go back to the tree planting car to help local farmers and local gardeners who had plant problems they wanted help with. And then sometimes solving these problems would require a visit to a nearby home or a town. And then it was back to the tree planting car for a quick lunch.
Wait, so that was just the morning?
That was just the morning. You know, so after lunch, the classes of students would start to arrive. You know, and depending on the number of students, there might be a single session in the tree planting car. Sometimes if they had a larger center that they were servicing, there might be two or three sessions. Well, these students would come from the town, but a lot of times, of course, keep in mind, this was the era of the one-room schoolhouse. And sometimes, you know, helpful parents would bring wagon loads of kids from the surrounding area, you know, miles away that they would come. And of course, the excitement was really high because you got to keep in mind, a lot of these smaller towns did not have a movie theater. They had no facility for seeing talking movies. So the idea of coming and learning about trees, but, you know, also watching a talking movie, that was really exciting. So that was all afternoon. And then before supper, there might be more visits to local homes to diagnose plant problems. And then they, in the evening, at 8 p.m. promptly, they would start the evening program for adults. And it would run to about 10 p.m. And then after that, there was an informal Q&A session. And that could go to midnight or sometimes 1 in the morning. Well, you're exhausted, you get into bed, and next morning you'd wake up in another new town and repeat the whole process. And keep in mind, this was a typical day that went on for months at a time for 53 years.
I'm falling in love with this project, so I have to ask, when did it stop and why did it stop?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the final year of operation of the tree planting car was 1973, and basically what happened then was that the Canadian Pacific, who owned the car, they donated it to the Manitoba Forestry Association, and by that time, the tree planting car had traveled over 263,000, over a quarter of a million miles. It had been visited by over 1.5 million people. But you asked about what caused it to stop. Well, basically, there was a couple of factors, I think, that doomed it. First was the decline of railways. You know, roads were popular. People didn't take the train as much. A lot of the railway lines were being abandoned. There were simply fewer communities that were served by the railway and therefore could be visited by the tree planting car. The second, of course, was that the novelty of movies in the tree planting car had kind of worn off by this time. You know, by the 1970s, television was pretty widespread. You know, people could watch talking movies and there was information opportunities. You could have commercials about the benefits of planting trees. You just didn't need a tree planting car to visit your town.
So what happened then to the actual tree planting car?
Well, it was moved by train to Haddishville, which is in southeastern Manitoba, and there its metal wheels were replaced by rubber tires, and it was towed to something called the Sandylands Forest Discovery Center. Basically, it was an educational facility to educate people about trees and the benefits of trees, and there its wheels, its metal wheels, were reattached. It was put on a short section of railway track. It was covered from the sun and the rain by an overhead metal roof. And there it sat, surrounded by trees, and gradually over the last 46 years since it arrived there in the 1970s, those trees have grown to maturity. So today there's a small museum nearby that talks about forestry and trees and so on, several other outbuildings, and these make up the Sandylands Forest Discovery Center.
How did it come to be abandoned?
Well, as longtime listeners may recall, the forest industry in Manitoba has gone through dramatic change. The big mill, for example, at Pine Falls was closed and then demolished. You know, the whole nature of forestry has waned, largely because of our moving away from paper towards, you know, electronic things. And so as a result, the demand for the services that the Forest Discovery Center provided waned as well. You know, they've lost some key funding, unfortunately, in the last little while. So now the Forest Discovery Center is only open on special occasions and by appointment. And what this means, basically, is that the tree planting car is no longer the focus of attention that it once was. And the Manitoba Forestry Association that owns it is receptive to moving it somewhere else, where it can be more useful than it is at present. You know, one possibility that's being explored is that they might move it to the Manitoba Children's Museum, you know, here at the Forks. I think it'd be wonderful because then, you know, kids who have never seen a passenger train car could see it and then they could continue to use it for, you know, videos and things. You know, it could remind them of course, the benefits of planting trees. So that's a great idea. Unfortunately, the cost of moving the tree planting car is considerable. So, you know, anyone who's interested in helping to preserve this, what I think is a really important facet of prairie history, should contact the Manitoba Forestry Association.
So impressive in what it was able to accomplish in its time.
Absolutely. 53 years of service promoting trees.
Gordon, thank you for this week's Abanda Manitoba. The clue for next week, please.
Well, a building that is designed by a famous architect has no guarantee that it will escape abandonment, as we will hear next week.
Dun, dun, dun. Gordon, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nadia.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.